In the darkest corners of the internet, a nameless, formless entity has been growing. No one dares question where it was created or what it wants, but those who have been entranced by its musings chant its blood-curdling name in unison. Horror Movie Night!
Find Horror Movie Night on your favorite podcasting app or at hmnpodcast.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Joe, it is 2024, baby.
Woo-woo.
And man, so here we go. We're in season three. Debatably, I mean, it seems like it's a real toss-up. Some people think this is the worst season of the OC. Some people think season four is the worst season of the OC. You know, I'm two episodes in as we're hitting record on this. And I don't know what to think. There was a lot of anger in me throughout both of these episodes, but we'll get through them. We'll get through both of these over the next 2 weeks. But I have to give a very heartfelt kudos to you, to my girlfriend, to all of the other OC fans in my life who allowed me to just believe that Trey was dead. Imagine my surprise to find out that Trey was in a coma.
Yes.
And I thought, all right, they're just prolonging this death. And then his finger starts moving, and I'm like, wait, what is happening exactly?
Which it wasn't even subtle, right? Like, it was just like, ah! I was like, is he having a seizure? He's actually having a seizure.
They lingered on the hand way too long. A good 25 seconds before anything happened. And I was like, well, if his finger doesn't move soon, I'm going to be like, this is just bad editing.
It was like the end of Inception where.
Yeah.
It's like. Yeah. Is oh, my God. But it was,
yeah. It's just like a little tinge and then cut to black.
Yeah.
You could. That's the thing that's so baffling to me about the OC is it's both really good at drawing out drama and also horrible at it. Like, this episode could have easily been three or four stressful episodes of plot with the Trey of it all. But instead, the entire Trey thing is set up and resolved by the end of the episode.
You look away for 5 minutes and he's on a bus.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? But hey, you know what? Like, good? I don't know. I mean, it's so weird. This episode, there's really only two major plot points. Mm-hmm. Usually we're juggling like three or four, but the main thing is the Trey of it all.
Yeah.
That Trey has been shot. He's in the hospital. They want to say that it was Ryan that went over there with malicious intent to kill that shot Trey.
Oh, who's the they that wanted to say that?
Well, a lot of people. I'm going to say, for starters, Lassie from Psych showing up as a as an investigator, but we'll get into the Julie Cooper of it all very soon. And it just leads into like all this drama. We're also finding out that parents are petitioning for Julie and for Marissa and Ryan to not be allowed in school because of this shooting, which is fucking wild that this is the thing that breaks the camel's back of everything. But whatever, we can move on with that. And then we also continue the Kirsten in therapy stuff, which I think actually made me angrier than the Trey stuff.
Okay.
Just because you and I talked about this so much while discussing season two, that like they don't know how to do the Sandy Kirsten drama well. And like this just kind of is a further, I really was hoping that it was like, Kirsten will go to rehab. She'll come back. They'll fully have accepted that this is a show about the teens and just like let Sandy and Kirsten like settle into a status quo place for the last two seasons and just focus all the energy on the core four. But and again, maybe it's just because I'm too close to the material of like knowing people going through rehab, knowing these different things, knowing that like you shouldn't build a codependent relationship with someone that you just met out of rehab. Like, that's not helpful. That's why they tell you when you go to get a sponsor, it should be someone who's got like a couple years of being sober under their belt. Like, there's so many things. And I wrote, this is the whole thing. I wrote a very long, frantic paragraph. And it says, wait. Does Trey live? What the hell is happening? Why is his finger twitching? Kirsten's meeting a girl in rehab to possibly get drinks with? This sounds bad. Oh, now she's glaring across the way. God damn it. I guess there's going to be more marriage tension. What the fuck, writers?
You know, Matt, you, if you have strong opinions about Kirsten's rehabilitation process, you're gonna continue to have those.
Yeah. I already can see that this is gonna be a rough season. I get your frustration at this season already.
There's something that happens in the second episode that
makes
me really frustrated.
I am trying so hard. The most that I can say about this episode is that at least it's not episode two, which like episode two at points I was like, ah, this is a little bit more fun than episode one. But then when it's like frustratingly not good, it is like
it is very
ruined your night. Frustratingly not good. But I'm trying really hard to not think about episode two just yet. I will say one of the best moments in all of the OC happens in this episode, though.
Tell me.
So the core four dealing with the drama of everything that's happening at school because of the shooting. And Summer's like, I think we just need to get away. And they go sailing and they have this lovely beach day. And I think that the beach scene is very charming and sweet because so many shots during this musical montage feel like it's just the actors being themselves trying to make each other laugh while having a fun day at the beach. Mm-hmm. And like for a couple moments, I'm like, I get it. I get the appeal of sailing, living in Newport, sailing to a random beach, having a bonfire together, just goofing around. Like, that was like one of the most wholesome, charming moments in the history of the OC.
Yeah, and it's all for naught.
It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
It was like, remember when this was half the show?
Yeah.
In season one? Remember all those good feelings?
Yeah, just enjoying each other's company. I wrote down another note that I want to read verbatim and said, hey, Joe.
Oh,
Julie
God.
Cooper's Julie Cooper's about to try to frame Ryan. Is this the episode I'm supposed to start liking Julie Cooper? When does that episode show up?
First of all, you should have already been on the Julie Cooper train since season one. I don't know what to tell you. And again,
I understand that she's like the ultimate defensive mother, but
exactly.
Like,
I can't believe
But she's also illogical.
Point.
She's like, how's that going to look on a college application that her hobbies are gunning down blue collar criminals? And I'm like, Julie, what do you think you put on a college application exactly? Because I think that not killing someone, but wounding someone in an act of self-defense is mm-hmm. not a thing that ever in history needs to come up on your college application. This Correct. Is the thing you're worried about, not the overdose in Tijuana or like all of the other Marissa. And that's the thing. Like, I will give
a fleeting lesbianism. This.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't think that actually might look good on a college application, but like, that's the world that the liberals want us to live in. The elements of like just all of this, like this all, it's really hard to not bring up episode two, so I'm not going to. But the point is, Marissa has a whole lot more skeletons in the closet that she has to worry about becoming public knowledge while applying for colleges mm-hmm. than like this self-defense situation.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that combined together, it's an issue. So, Julie Cooper successfully goes and bribes Trey to tell everybody, including the police, that Ryan is the person who shot him, which causes Ryan to decide he's going to run away. As Seth says, he's got the wife beater and the jeans on. It's the classic Ryan runaway outfit. And they agree to try to take a boat and get him to safety. And the police show up and break this up. What I am confused by, Joe, mm-hmm. is how the very next scene, three people who tried to help a convict escape are able to just roam the streets free and go into the hospital to essentially threaten Trey into telling the truth.
Sandy's just that good of a lawyer. we got to go back a little bit, though. We got to go back a little bit because the like almost like horror movie like scene of like the
Julie
nurse
Cooper in a dark hospital. Yeah.
Like the nurse sitting there and then like looking over and being like, huh. And to me, it's like it's giving, oh, my God, you know,
Halloween
Jason's
too.
Gonna come out and like cut her head off. But then you see the shoes, which
shoes.
Like could not be more 2004 or whatever period we're in. And
so
and it's just like beautiful how it's shot, but it was like for a moment this is also my like fright school trauma, right? I was like, oh no, Jason's gonna come out and kill her. And no, it's actually Julie Cooper that's just gonna threaten her.
In the darkest corners of the internet, a nameless, formless entity has been growing. No one dares question where it was created or what it wants, but those who have been entranced by its musings chant its blood-curdling name in unison. Horror Movie Night!
Find Horror Movie Night on your favorite podcasting app or at hmnpodcast.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, femregard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
All right, well, threats aside, I do have to say that talking about horror movie scenes, stay tuned for next week. I think that there are plot beats next week that feel even more like a horror movie. Yeah, just be ready for that. But Joe, I think it's time to talk about the tunes in this episode. Kind of tunes light, I will say, but we get three of them. The 88s, Hide Another Mistake, plays while our core four are enjoying some food together. In, I believe this is pronounced Browdy, Ian Browdy, Song for No One, plays when they sail to the beach and have their fun day at the beach. And then the Block Party's Blue Light plays as Trey is escorted away on a bus. What is yours? Escorted away. What is your song of the episode?
It's The Beach, the Browdy song.
I agree. So much so that I added that song to my 2024 playlist, which is like the playlist I put on whenever I want music in my house. Because I was like, this is just a nice, sweet, wholesome song.
Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out to the 88s, a band who I've never heard anybody in the world talk about, but somehow was like all the rage in the late 2000s. With doing the Community theme song, showing up in the OC. They were the wedding band for How I Met Your Mother. Like, I don't know what this little indie band that no one's ever heard of did in like the 2005 to 2010 range of their career. But man, did showrunners love them. So quick shout out to them. Joe, we've passed the biggest pop culture moment of the OC for sure. I think from this moment, the notability of the OC definitely starts to take a dip in the public eye. I could be wrong. Is there any other giant beloved moment that I'm missing out on? Or is it basically for the diehards for the next season or two? Like, nothing's going to top the Trey shooting, right? That is like the peak of OC. Yeah, that's what I mean. So we've definitely hit the peak of everybody talking about the OC, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to still do our pop culture promo. I'm going to talk about a movie that I put off for far too long, did not watch until October of last year, after everybody had already put it on their best of the year list for the previous year. I finally watched Pearl.
Oh,
Pearl is fantastic.
I haven't watched it either.
Oh my God. Pearl is delightful. I think you will like Pearl for the exact same reason I liked Pearl, which is that it's serving a lot of Wizard of Oz energy throughout the entire movie.
Did you just call me gay? I was like, was that a slur? Is that a new type of slur? You would really love Pearl. No. Well, do I need to watch X first?
I don't think so, because it's technically a prequel to X.
Okay.
There is a character that you meet in X that may or may not have something to do with the plot of X, but this is like 30 years before X, the origin stories of this character. But it really operates as a standalone story. If you had no interest in ever watching X, I would still say watch Pearl. I think Pearl is the better of the two, but it's just about a girl on the farm. It's shot in a very like technicolor kind of way to Wizard of Oz. She like hangs out with a scarecrow in the field, and she's dressed like Dorothy a lot.
She does a couple things with that scarecrow in the field.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen. It's you know, it's a good movie, is what I'm, you know, it's hot. But but yeah, it's I really enjoyed it. So at the risk of ruining any of the movie, I will just pass the conversation conch to you, and you can tell us your pop culture thing that you want to talk about.
I do sort of around this time of year is rewatch the Harry Potter films. And I don't know, I think maybe just because of what I was feeling around this time of year, but it didn't have the same kind of magic. But yeah. Then I watched all the Fantastic Beast movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, still no magic. But it was nice to finish the series because I didn't watch Secrets of Dumbledore, the third movie in that series, when it came out last year. And so watching it for the first time this year, I actually stayed up late last night, almost I had to drag myself out of bed this morning to record. But I finished Secrets of Dumbledore, and it was just like very anticlimactic. But yeah,
well,
I'm glad it's done. And also, Mads Mikkelsen should have played Grindelwald from the very beginning, because he was believable as like wizard Hitler.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that the problem was like so much happened mm-hmm. while making the second Fantastic Beasts movie between Johnny Depp allegations, JK just really running herself through the mud, and then, you know, then claiming to be the victim as she's like fucking up her own legacy left yep. and right. Mm-hmm. I believe the original plan was that it was going to be a 6-part franchise. And then after all of that went down, Universal was just like, hey, when we make this third one, let's just like try our best to tie a bow on it with like as little open-endedness as possible, just in case we decide we don't want to do 4, 5, and 6 of this. What I will say, though, is as a big Harry Potter fan, despite mm-hmm. how much I do not like the creator of Harry Potter, I still sure. feel a magicness mm-hmm. towards the books and the stories.
Sure.
And as a Hufflepuff, Newt yes. Scamander is my favorite wizard in the history of the wizard world. Joe, we got through this first episode. You know, fingers crossed, maybe next week's episode will be great. But it's probably not going to be, because these white people can't get out of all of these goddamn problems.
You should have just cut it at maybe this episode will be great.
Entity has been growing. No one dares question where it was created or what it wants, but those who have been entranced by its musings chant its blood-curdling name in unison. Horror Movie Night!
Find Horror Movie Night on your favorite podcasting app or at hmnpodcast.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include 7 best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs 2 of our hosts that have seen a show with 2 of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.